It's gonna be scary. Not for us.
All engine running. Liftoff.
Start on Thompson, steps right, shoots for the win of three. He got it! He got it!
This ain't my first rodeo.
Westbrook to the basket. Turns Schroeder around. Russell Westbrook.
House the three and the lead. You betcha.
Covington, biggest shot of the game, and he hits it. The corner.
PJ Tucker.
Gordon by Gordon Branch.
It's time to accomplish something together that we haven't accomplished before.
We both understand that we have one common goal, and that's to win a championship, so.
Let's get it.
What's up, and welcome to another episode of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Today's episode is brought to you by rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin, native Houstonian and the founder slash managing editor of ClutchCityControlRoom.com, your home for all things Houston hoops. You can follow me on Twitter at JT Gatlin, the show at Locked On Rockets, and also the blog at ClutchCityCR. First things first, man, this is a Rockets podcast, but I'm just going to preface this by the fact that in segment three, I'm going to throw some appreciation towards Tyler Herro and the Miami Heat. So segment three is going to be a temporary Locked On Heat version of this pod, but with an overarching scope of talking about the draft as well. And so I want to get to that point, but man, first off, Tyler Herro is a baller. Just that game last night was incredible, as I'm recording this very early Thursday morning. But anyways, so I want to get to the Rockets related topics of the day. And first things first is, I kind of already mentioned, I do want to talk about the draft potentially. And I want to give a quick shout out to Brazil and to Australia, because we have a chunk of listeners who provide a significant amount of interaction with the show, on social media, all that stuff, from Brazil and from Australia. So quick shout out, right there. And I've done a couple shout outs before to, different respective countries and stuff. But I just wanted to shout out those two really quick, because it's felt like over the last few weeks or so, I've had a lot of interaction with listeners from those two places. So just wanted to give that drop in a quick shout out for them. Now, for today's show, first things first is I want to talk about this report from Adrian Wojnarowski, and this kind of verifies some of the speculation that we've put in place here at Locked On Rockets so far. And Wojnarowski was on a radio program Wednesday, and here's what he had to say about the Rockets head coaching search. Houston, I think you're going to see a more of a veteran coach there for that group. I think they'll interview a lot of people. Ty Lue and Sam Cassell with the Clippers are a couple, but a bunch more. They like interviewing a lot of people with the Rockets traditionally, and when they have an opening, and they try a lot of combinations of head coach and top assistant. They try to find people that complement each other. And that kind of fits the mold of what we've been assuming is going to happen, where when the Rockets do make their final decision on a head coach, it's not simply just the head coach and then the lead assistant to follow. It's a decision that will be made in tandem with one another. Likely same thing that happened back in 2016 with Mike D'Antoni and Jeff Bozelic as his lead assistant. That's probably what we're going to see again. We're going to see a head coach and then a lead assistant that match each other really well, or potentially. Now, here's the thing, is it doesn't necessarily mean that the Rockets are going to dump the current assistant coaching staff that they have. So that means Elston Turner, Brett Gunning, Matt Braze, John Lucas, and Dan Hartfield. It doesn't mean that they're going to dump all those guys. Now, do I see any of those guys potentially stepping up and being the lead assistant for a new head coach? Probably not. I think that whoever the Rockets bring in is going to bring in another assistant coach who will be, the de facto lead assistant. But it's very possible that that current assistant coaching staff still sticks around, because Daryl Morey has final say on the assistant coaching staff, not the head coach. That's not how this team has traditionally operated. And while obviously the head coach's, input is important, Daryl Morey has the final say on this roster. So I think that's kind of an interesting little tidbit there. And again, it just kind of provides some validation to what, you know, the speculation that we've had going on here at Locked On Rockets so far. And, you know, it makes a lot of sense. You know, you would want two coaches that have, you know, complementary styles, and it allows one coach to kind of focus on one area of the floor potentially and another coach to focus on another area, and you cover more of your bases that way. So I like that idea, and it feels good to hear Wojnarowski reporting on it. Because if I see something from Woj or from Shams, that's when you know you can take it a bit more seriously than almost any other report across the entire NBA. Now, in addition to the Rockets' head coaching search, kind of relating to it ever so slightly, is the fact that it sounds like the 76ers are making a serious push towards Mike D'Antoni. And, you know, it sounded like at first the Pacers were the team kind of in the lead for landing Mike D'Antoni's services. Now it sounds like the 76ers are kind of making a significant push, going so far as saying that they'd be willing to trade some of their pieces and kind of making their roster readily available in certain trade scenarios should they hire Mike D'Antoni. Now, that makes a lot of sense because looking at Philadelphia's roster, that is kind of the inverse, the polar opposite of what a D'Antoni roster would normally look like. You've got so many bigs over there, you know, Embiid, Horford, you know, Ben Simmons is a phenomenal playmaker, yes, and a great ball handler, but he doesn't shoot the ball. So it's kind of an odd fit for Mike D'Antoni, the way that that roster is presently constructed. But this is something that could play into the favor of the Houston Rockets, especially now, you know, on our most recent Trade Target Tuesday episode, somebody brought up the idea of a Al Horford trade scenario. And Al Horford's a guy that could potentially fit really well in this Rockets offense. You know, he's a big that can pass, can defend, can stretch the floor, can run that pick and pop game with either James or Russ. He remains a very interesting possibility, and if Philadelphia opts to hire Mike D'Antoni, I really don't see a world in which they run Joel Embiid and Al Horford. I honestly don't even see a world where they run Embiid at all if they bring in Mike D'Antoni. If they bring in Mike D'Antoni, Embiid is quite possibly on the trading block. Now, does that mean that the Rockets can go land Joel Embiid? Probably not. I'm just going to go out on a limb and say probably not. And again, I'm of the opinion that I don't think Russell Westbrook is going anywhere. And if there was even a slim chance for the Rockets to pursue a Joel Embiid trade, it would more than likely be involved, centered around trading Russell Westbrook. And the thing is they wouldn't even be trading Russell Westbrook to the 76ers because Ben Simmons is the ball handler. You can't have Ben Simmons operate off ball with Russell Westbrook on ball because he's not a shooter. So that would be two non-shooters on the same team. So by the slimmest of margins, it would have to involve a third team that did want Russell Westbrook. So Embiid to the Rockets, Russ to the third team, and then players slash, you know, future capital from both the Rockets and the third team to the 76ers. That's the only potential trade scenario that makes sense. And I still don't even see that happening. But the Al Horford situation is a bit more realistic and something that could be monitored. There's some other players on that Philadelphia 76ers roster that potentially the Rockets may be able to pry away depending on how that situation goes while they try to fill their head coaching vacancy with a potential Mike D'Antoni signing. So coming up, I do want to hit on a couple mailbag questions concerning the coaching search, some ideas going on there, as well as mentioned before, I do want to talk about the upcoming NBA draft in the final segment. So we'll get there in just one moment after a quick message from our friends at rockauto.com. Traditional chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers, whereas RockAuto.com's prices are the exact same for everybody, and they are always reliably low. They always offer the lowest possible prices rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear, kind of like what airlines do. And here's the thing, right? RockAuto.com is a family business that's been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. They have everything that you need, from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even brand new carpet. So whether it's for your classic or your daily driver, you can get everything, and I mean everything, that you need in just a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. So go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck, and be sure, here's the important part, right? Do me a favor, be sure to write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so that they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. And we're back here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Getting ready to discuss a couple of mailbag-style questions from the Facebook page, surprisingly. And first things first, don't ever feel the need to apologize for reaching out, being like, hey, sorry, JT, or hey, sorry, Jackson, sorry to bug you. No, this is what I love doing. I love talking Rockets basketball, and I love it when you guys interact with me and reach out and ask questions and things like that. So please don't ever feel the need to apologize. Now, if I don't get back to you immediately, I'm sorry about that. That's just because I'm very, very busy at almost all times throughout the day. So if I don't get back to you right away immediately, please don't be offended by that. I promise I will. I've seen the message and I have it on my list of things to tackle. So that being said, going to the Facebook messages right now, and the first from Fivos talking about, you know, a potential hiring of Dave Yeager as the Rockets' next head coach. And there's some interesting points that he makes there about, how he was able to really push the pace with Sacramento. And he follows it up by saying, you know, not plugging for him, I'm not his agent. I love that. That's funny. You know, the idea that maybe an agent would slide into my DMs, be like, hey, could you talk about this potential hire on your show? Anyways, I'd like to think that's kind of, you know, I don't know if we exactly have that kind of pull here at Locked On Rockets, but it's still funny to think about. No, Yeager is an interesting candidate. He's not a guy that was in my immediate list of names for consideration right off the top. But he makes a lot of sense, and he makes sense in the way that we've looked at kind of the bigger scope of this Rockets team and how this team can be successful, and it's very apparent that they need to be successful by getting out in transition and by playing fast. Because where does Russell Westbrook excel? He excels playing fast. He excels in transition. He is the Tasmanian devil of the NBA in transition. And so if you can get out in transition more, you're kind of amplifying the part of his game that is the most deadly. Now, that being said, James Harden can succeed in a faster paced offense or a slower paced offense. We've seen both sides of that, where in 2016, 2017, faster paced Rockets offense, then slower paced for a couple of years with Chris Paul, which is bound to happen because Chris Paul just slows down the pace of whatever team he is on. And then we saw another faster paced Rockets offense this past season, but only in the regular season. Now, the Rockets were the second fastest paced team in the regular season, but in the playoffs, their offense just slowed to that middle of the pack kind of style. They were only the eighth fastest team in the playoffs. And so that's an area where, again, the playoffs do kind of slow down a little bit, but I do think that was also kind of, it was a bit James Harden's fault as well. In the absence of Russell Westbrook for those first four playoff games, the Rockets didn't play nearly as fast as they did throughout the regular season. And so we've seen James be successful at both versions of either, you know, playing slow or playing fast. But when James can play both styles, but Russ succeeds at one style over the other, it makes sense you want to play fast. So a coach like Yeager, who could potentially, you know, really push for more pace in transition, kind of fits that ideology, that Mike D'Antoni ideology of, you know, not necessarily, well, yeah, offense first, but just really trying to crank things up to 11 and get the most out of this offensive system, get the most out of Russ and James. So Yeager's an interesting hire. I think he would be an interesting candidate. And again, going off of what we talked about in segment one, you'd want to balance him out with somebody, you know, who could, again, probably be more of a defensive presence as far as your lead assistant would go, you know, another kind of a Jeff Bezelic type if they were to go that route. So I think that's interesting, and I appreciate you bringing it up, Fivos. And our other question we've got from Axel on the Facebook page, and that is the idea that that the Rockets should get a rim-running big that only plays if Russ isn't on the floor. Going so far as saying Harden needs another dimension. If the threes don't fall, the ISO game will be predictable and easy to scheme for during the playoffs. He was amazing in the pick and roll with Clint, and that they should be more versatile when it comes to lineups. Golden State didn't only win with the Hamptons five. They had Bogut, Livingston, guys that brought other dimensions, even though they couldn't hit behind the three-point line. I completely agree. I think that it's going to be interesting because we're seeing, and this is the thing that we're seeing right now in these Eastern Conference and Western Conference Finals. We're seeing teams play versions of small ball, whether it be Anthony Davis at the five spot, whether it be Andre Iguodala, whether it be Daniel Tice, Bam Adebayo. You know, we're seeing versions of small ball. Now, again, Bam and Tice are a little bit different because they are legitimate centers. That's what their skill set provides. But still, we're seeing teams, we're seeing, and this is a trend across the entire NBA, where we're seeing more and more versatile lineups with guys who are able to defend multiple positions, and the Rockets were just kind of at the forefront of that and just trying to maximize it by completely going small ball. Now, I don't think small ball is going to be around for an entire 82-game season plus the playoffs, 48 minutes a night. I cannot see it. Now, depending on what head coach they bring in, that'll be interesting to see which direction they go. Maybe they do get another rim-running big like Clint Capela. Maybe they get somebody who is, you know, strictly a vertical spacing presence who can play above the rim, who is a more defensive-minded big. Think a Nerlens Noel type, right? Somebody that they can bring on a very cheap contract who can complement James Harden, who can be that lob target pass for that vertical spacing, so they can go back to a bit more pick and roll action with Harden, especially when Russ isn't on the court. So that's a possibility. Or they could bring in, again, a guy who is a three-point threat, who is a just a more versatile offensive player. And this is where like the Miles Turner situation comes in, right? Miles Turner is a guy who can play above the rim. He can space the floor. He's a decent defender. Like, he kind of checks a lot of little boxes for the Rockets. The prime candidate, and this is the far and away guy who would be the absolute best fit for this Rockets team, would be Serge Ibaka. Now, do I see him leaving the Raptors? I think it's slim to none. I think there is a very slim chance that he leaves the Raptors. He'll be able to get a payday from Toronto if they decide they want to keep him, which I don't see why they wouldn't. This is going to be Serge's last opportunity to really receive a gigantic payday. So he is significantly out of the Rockets' price range. Now, if the Raptors opt to not pay Serge Ibaka, that becomes a little bit more interesting. Or if they are only willing to pay him in the form of a sign and trade, there's some interesting possibilities there. But I don't really see Serge Ibaka walking away from the Raptors and that group that he's had success with, that he's won a chip with already. But he would be kind of the ideal center for this Rockets team, somebody who does provide some legitimate size, some range, defense, and the ability to switch onto perimeter players. Again, similarly to a Bam Adebayo-style player, that 6'9", 6'10 size, you know, still a bit undersized compared to most traditional centers, but with a toolkit, with the versatility that you need to be successful in the Rockets' offensive scheme. But I think if they can bring in a traditional big like a Nerlens Noel type on a vet minimum deal to have some size, it just depends on if the coach at the helm decides to utilize that player, because that's what we saw with Mike D'Antoni. Is even though he had Isaiah Hartenstein sitting at the end of the bench, even though he had Tyson Chandler sitting at the end of the bench, he just committed fully to 48 minutes of small ball. Now, I genuinely don't think that's going to lead to a successful formula over the course of an 82-game season. I think small ball is it's too taxing of a play style across, you know, 48 minutes across an 82-game regular season for this team to really go at, unless you have a lineup, a roster where you've got, you know, you can go 12 deep on any given night and really cycle your guys around to where guys who have the increased load like PJ Tucker or Jeff Green of having to battle and bang with opposing centers who are, you know, outweighing them and battling in the post with them and stuff like that, then if you can limit those guys to maybe 20, 25 minutes a night and just kind of cycle through a few, you know, a bunch of different guys, then maybe you can do small ball for an entire 48, you know, minutes and entire 82-game schedule. But I still don't see the viability in doing so. I think it does require having a big or two floating around for certain matchups. So I would like to see, and I agree, Axel, I would like to see a rim-running big, because I do think that vertical floor spacing offensively is something that, you know, could be highly complementary to James Harden's game situationally throughout a game. So coming up, we've got our final segment here where I do want to talk about the Rockets and this upcoming NBA draft, as well as, you know, the idea behind certain later first round draft picks and just things of that nature. So we'll get there in just one moment. And final segment here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. It seems kind of weird to want to talk about the NBA draft regarding the Houston Rockets when they don't have any picks. But before I get into this year's draft specifically, just kind of, it's more of a culture type thing. And we've talked about, you know, other teams and wanting to maybe mimic the culture of other organizations for this Houston Rockets club. And I think that that kind of starts with the ability to develop and cultivate talent through the draft. And what we've seen, unfortunately, from the Rockets in recent years is utilizing their draft picks in trades, and both to duck the luxury tax as well as, you know, most recently to acquire Russell Westbrook and give it and forking over a, you know, a couple picks as well as a couple pick swaps there. But legitimately, when you look around the league and you look at these players who have such a distinct impact, and these are not, like, you know, top five lottery, extremely talented top of the line lottery picks that we're talking about. These are, you know, guys who are mid to late first round picks, or, you know, guys who are at the very tail end of the lottery, very gettable guys. And then there's also, you know, the second round where you can pick up some gems there. But here's the thing, is it's about developing those guys. And I bring that up, you know, talking specifically about Tyler Herro, and the Heat have a couple of those kind of mid first round guys who have become, you know, so immediately impactful to their organization. Bam Adebayo, Tyler Herro, and then again, you look around the league at some of the, you know, the second round draft picks and the guys who are able to make contributions to teams, but it takes developing that talent. It takes not only scouting the talent and finding that niche second round player who can be impactful to an organization, but then also developing that talent and giving them a chance to shine. And I think that's something that we just never saw under Mike D'Antoni. Like, we had talented players here in Houston who just never got the time of day under Mike D'Antoni to develop their skills in a real NBA setting, because practice is different than real NBA games. And maybe you make the argument that Gary Clark, Isaiah Hartenstein, you know, guys like that weren't as talented as you know, fans and media thought them to be. But in the times where they did get legitimate burn on the court, they produced. You know, they had, you know, added production value, and they helped the Rockets win some games here and there. So, you know, when you have young guys that look that promising, it's frustrating to an entire fan base when they aren't getting minutes, because then you see other teams who have, you know, rookie Tyler Herro drops 37 points in a playoff game, right? You know, in a taking a commanding 3-1 series lead for the Miami Heat in the Eastern Conference Finals. And you never get to that point with Tyler Herro if he's not trusted by Eric Spoelstra and the entire coaching staff, the organization, to be in that situation in the first place. And yeah, I get it. It's Tyler Herro. He's a bit of a different name than, say, a Gary Clark or an Isaiah Hartenstein. I'm not asking that. I'm not saying that either of those two guys are on Tyler Harrow's level, but they are able to be contributors. They were legitimate guys who could have been, you know, the 10th or the 11th guys in a rotation, and instead they were buried at the end of the bench. They never got any playing time, and then eventually the Rockets waived both of them. And so now you've got Gary Clark, who, you know, had a decent stretch with the Orlando Magic, and Isaiah Hartenstein, who's still sitting around as a free agent, you know, playing basketball with his dog in his driveway, probably, like Gerald Green. So I think that going back to this year's draft and just moving forward, whoever they bring in as the head coach needs to be somebody who's willing to develop younger talent and actually give young talent a chance. And regarding this year's draft, the Rockets do still have about $4 million left in their cash allotment for this season. And so they could very easily buy into kind of a mid to late second round pick. You know, if there's a target or two that they're potentially interested in snagging, they could easily do that. Now, there's also the argument where they could just sit around and not draft anybody and see who goes undrafted and try to sign somebody without having to use any of that cash allotment on a pick. So there's that as well. But I just want a noticeable improvement in the culture of the Rockets organization to start looking at developing some of that younger talent and finding some guys around the league. Because look, the NBA draft, right? There's 60 slots, 30 in the first round, 30 in the second round. Not everybody who is a talented individual who could play at the NBA level gets drafted. That just, there's plenty of solid undrafted players throughout the years, but it's about finding those players. It's about finding them and then subsequently giving them a chance. And I'd like the Rockets to start moving towards that direction, because here's the thing, is they are only a couple years away from the end of the James Harden and Russell Westbrook era. And if they have no prospects on the horizon, if they have no young guys to potentially, you know, revitalize the franchise, to kind of hand the reins to and say, all right, it's your team now, this is going to be a very bumpy rebuild, and it's going to be a very tough rebuild for a couple years if they just go from all these veteran, you know, 28-plus guys, 28-year-old plus, to a team of nobodies who's, you know, basically trotting out a G League roster with nobody who has any developed talent so far. That would be the nightmare scenario for the Rockets, and one that Daryl Morey did a masterful job of avoiding the first time around, the transition between the T-Mac and Yao era into the James Harden era, and I feel pretty confident that he will be able to make that transition again. It just hasn't been trending that way because they've been pushing the envelope so hard for so many years now as being a championship contender that they've been, you know, burning all their assets trying to not only duck the tax, but bolster the team into and continue to remain a championship contender, but they haven't been doing it by developing young talent. And it's possible to do both, and that's what I want out of the organization moving forward. So that's going to do it for today's episode. As always, thank you so much for listening. We look forward to having you back right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.